And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, everybody, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. And I'm glad you could join us down here. Oh, it's been such a difficult few months, weeks, I guess. And I know people been on social media, on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else. And they've been, you know, unfriending people. They've been unfollowing people. They've been getting in arguments with their friends and family and, like, things that you didn't know about people that were sort of like hidden deep down inside them have just been coming to the surface. And, you know, I wanted to talk about that on the episode today. I got two very special guests who are going to be on the episode today, going to be talking about this. And obviously I'm talking about, you know, something that's touched all of our lives. I'm talking about these posts that have been largely on Facebook, I think, but they've been everywhere. Obviously, I'm talking about these posts that people are making about the influential albums that affected them as young people, the top 10 albums that shaped you as a young music listener. This has been all over the internet in the last couple of weeks, even the last couple of months. I think it's been a distraction from this Trump shit. Oh, did you all think I was talking about Trump? And, like, the fact that we have a raving lunatic racist piece of shit in the White House? Oh, yeah, well, I guess you're unfriending people for that, too. Which is good, but it's kind of fucked up that you didn't get in your friend's fucking faces earlier about this. I don't want to talk about that today. We talk about that a lot, and you can go to our YouTube channel. We've been doing a lot more stuff on YouTube about that for Dispatch of the Underground. I want to talk a little bit about the music, because I think music shapes people's lives. It shapes people's outlook, and frankly, I've been fucking, just my jaw has been dropped. I've been reading every one of my friends who's posted, like, their top 10 influential albums when they were youth, you know, the albums that, like, they felt shaped their outlook on music. I've been reading all this, and I'm just fucking flabbergasted. I don't know if that's even a word that people still use, but I feel like that's the only word that properly conveys how I feel about people's albums list. I've seen fucking Limp Bizkit on so many people's album lists of albums they loved as youngsters, that they were influential as teenagers. I can't fucking believe it. I feel like I don't know these fucking people. I'm really upset about it. And so I invited two dear friends, two people who I have a lot of respect for, two people who I was, two of the most shocking lists of wretched music that I found on all of my Facebook friends. These two folks, Ray Brutal from Ake, from the New York City hardcore band Ake, an incredible band. He's an amazing bass player. He is like an encyclopedia of music. He's got fantastic taste today, but I read his list and I was just absolutely shocked how terrible his past taste was. So I want to talk to Ray about that, and I want to talk to Ira. Ira the Terrible. Ira Kogan is going to be on the show today. Ira is a great bass player in his own right, but he's been in New York City hardcore scene, the punk scene, for a very long time, and he knows his shit, and he knows his bands, and he's got great taste in music. And I like a lot of the same bands Ira likes. We have a lot in common, actually. I love hanging out with Ira. I feel like he's got fantastic taste today, just like Ray. But what I don't understand is how these two could have such terrible taste growing up, and then they emerge from that to be the wonderful people they are. So that's what I want to talk about today. That's what we're going to be talking about on the episode. Both sides of the episode today are going to be talking about that. And you know, on this show, we like to do two things. We like to do two parts. We like to talk about the things that are going out of the mainstream, the things that we all sort of get subjected to in the mainstream culture. We like to try to get some perspective on that bullshit. We also like to talk about the underground and hopefully bring it out and push it in people's faces and remind them about how they should get better perspective on the way they live. And I feel like, even though this topic, you may be listening to this being like, this is going to be a dumbass episode, I feel like this topic on the superficial level might seem that way. But really, I think it's like a perfect topic, actually, because here we have two deeply rooted underground, incredible people, musicians, supporters of the underground arts, wonderful human beings in the underground scene here in New York City. And they're going to be coming on here to talk about the music that helped get them to where they are today. And mostly we're talking about mainstream music, because when you're a teenager, you don't have, especially your young teenager, which is what I think we're going to focus on, you don't have access to the music that you learn to love as you grow older and you find out, because you get down deep into the niches and crevices of the underground scene. No, this is a music that sort of just gets brought to you from the mainstream, or gets brought to you by your family or the culture you get raised up with. So I feel like this is actually a really good topic, and I'm going to try to delve into this. And well, obviously I'm going to talk a ton of shit, but I'm going to try to delve into this so we can get some perspective on how someone could have such terrible taste or grow up. Maybe I shouldn't be so nasty. No, that's terrible taste. They have terrible taste. How someone can have such terrible taste growing up and then be brought to have such incredible taste like they have now. And I'll represent like the other side of the discussion, which is someone who's grown up with incredible taste, you know, since day one, and has maintained that high quality and still making, or I don't know if I should say making, but listening to and appreciating incredible music. So I'll represent that side of the conversation, and then they can hold down like the, you know, the growth and the change. So we have a myriad of analysis on this episode. That's what we do on Dispatches. We try to analyze the shit out of the culture that surrounds us, the culture that we're subjected to, and the culture that we love. So we're going to be doing that today. We're going to listen to some tunes that we're talking about. We're going to listen to some tunes. Some tunes hopefully that will inspire you to make a new list and bring them to the young people around you. Anyway, most importantly, we're going to talk a ton of shit about people's terrible music taste. So I think you're going to dig it. I want to say a couple things before we get deep into this episode. First and foremost, I want to thank Ira and Ray for coming to the studio together. We got into a little tizzy on Facebook about discussing Metallica's Black Album. And I went to Ira and Ray, and I'm like, listen, let's discuss this. Let's do a whole episode on this. So that's where we're going to start. And I want to say thank you very much to these two wonderful people for taking time out of their busy schedules to come and talk a bunch of shit with me. It's a real pleasure to not only have such great friends, but people who let me talk monstrous shit about them right to their faces and still want to do it on a podcast. So thank you, Ira, and thank you, Ray. I appreciate your perspectives, even though I don't always appreciate your taste. I also want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. You can listen to Dispatches every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. at realpunkradio.com. It's part of the incredible broadcasting going on at the programming over there. So make sure you tune into Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. I also want to let people know, they probably have noticed. If they haven't, then they're not paying close enough attention. But Dispatches is not going every week right now. We're doing every other week. I just feel like I'm super busy with a bunch of other bands and exhausted from some other stuff, and I'm planning a wedding in the very near future, so I've got to take a little bit of a break from doing weekly podcasts. We're going to be doing every other week for some time into the future. I might be throwing some extra content up there, maybe shorter episodes. All those are a possibility. You can make sure you do not miss an episode by subscribing to this podcast. Go to our webpage, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. And subscribe there. There's a subscribe button. There's a YouTube channel. There's a bunch of ways to stay in touch with us. We have a merch page. Please go to the webpage, search around it, buy some stuff, donate, whatever. But make sure you subscribe. The show is free. It will always be free. We're just not going to be doing it every week for now for a little while. So make sure you subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode. And while you do that, you can also follow those links and go to iTunes and leave a little comment. Helps us find some other listeners. We appreciate everybody who's been hollering at me from across the country. I appreciate everyone who hollers at me from across the country and lets me know that they like what we're doing. I appreciate those emails. I know other people would appreciate to find out about Dispatches. We don't have an advertising budget, so I really appreciate everyone sharing this on social media. If there's an episode you really like, spreading the word, and so on and so on. But that's a little break. We're going to be taking a little break. Dispatches will continue to be put out. We're going to be putting out high-quality content. Episodes, in fact, might be a little bit longer in the weeks that we do produce them, so that you have enough to carry you through 2 weeks of living in this terrible and painful society that we live in. So hopefully that makes up for the lack of weekly content. But anyway, enough of all that. We're going to get to the episode right now with Ira Kogan and Ray Brutal. And we're going to be talking about music and what inspired us to become the people we are today and how we've changed and grown and developed and the influential elements of our past and how it shaped who we are and how we needed to rebel against it. Now, you'll get it. You'll get it. You'll dig it. You'll understand when we get there. So let's listen to a tune, and then Ira and Ray. Hope you all dig it. Get down. Before we get to the discussion, I want to play a tune here. I want to start this episode off on the right foot with some great tunes from today. Not back in the day bullshit, but from today. We're going to listen to a tune here from Copstabber. We just, Alternate Up just played an incredible show in Washington, D.C. on January 21st, the day after Trump's fucking inauguration. We played at the Women's March. At the tail end of the Women's March in Franklin Square Park, we played a show with these guys. It was an incredible show. We had a fucking good time. It brought the right energy. It talked about doing away with oppression and these cops and these institutions that we all hate. And I had a blast. And I've never seen this band play before. I listened to their album, Pulled Pork. I think it's a great album. But I'd never actually seen them play before, and they were fucking fantastic. They sound as good live as they do on the album, and that is not easy to do. So super impressed with them on many, many levels, and I want to start off with the first track from their album. And while I don't endorse politically the concepts behind this song, I think it's super catchy, and I fucking love the tune in general. So let's turn into it here. Here's Copstabber, Fuck School, Stay in Drugs by Copstabber from D.C. Get down.
Well, I never used anything I learned in class. 5 years wasted that I'll never get back. So I just said, fuck that, it's smoke crack. Drugs made me happy, school never did that. If you wanna have a good time, just say no. Say no to anything you can't put up your nose. Just drop out now, that's the way to go. You always stay high, then you'll never feel low. Fuck school, stay in drugs. Fuck school, stay in drugs. Well, I never used math in my real life, but I used cocaine almost every night. Might be a dropout, but I'm alright. High school never got me that high. I'm above the influence of science class. College can definitely kiss my ass. Do yourself a favor and drop out fast. Make sure no drug test is passed. Fuck school, stay in drugs. Fuck school, stay in drugs. Fuck school, stay in drugs. Fuck school, stay in drugs.
All right, I am sitting here with Ray Brutal, and Ira the Terrible, sitting here in the fucking Dispatch 3. Thanks for getting down, guys. Appreciate you guys coming over.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So everyone has been posting on the internet in the last like month about the 10 like influential albums or whatever.
Yeah.
Are my Stevie slippers like bothering you?
No.
Oh, okay, Ray's looking at me like I'm a dick, but it could be something else. Everybody's been posting about these 10 influential albums from when they're teenagers. I misinterpreted that question, and I thought it was like 10 influential albums when you were a youth or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess it's teenagers, so we can interpret that other way. But we're gonna talk about those today. We're going to talk a little bit about people's most influential albums, because Ray has been fucking triggering us all over the internet. He's like Captain Trigger over here.
Yeah,
he's like just going after us, trying to fucking talk shit about all the albums that we grew up and loved.
Ray, just a
specific few. Not really all of them.
You helped me get through my work day. I gotta tell you, man, all the shit you talk.
Ray wrote a list of his most influential albums, and the first one on the list, this is very controversial, first one on the list was Metallica's Black Album.
Oh, right.
And he said the most influential album of his young life is Metallica's Black Album. So if you guys have to turn the podcast off now, Ray Brutal from Ake loves Metallica's Black Album, and then, you know, turn it off, you gotta do it. Is that fair to say?
That is about the most unfair thing you've ever said about me, man. Like,
you had to talk into the mic or no one can hear.
Hey, that's about the most offensive thing you've ever said about me.
That you know of.
He said I was a Trump was my guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I just called a friend of mine the other day the liberal Trump.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But still, got to keep it right here. Yeah.
Right here?
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, sweet.
So, listen, let's start with the Black Album, because I know a lot.
This is a really, fucking 91 it came out, it's 2017.
91? No way, it did not come out in 91.
And everybody is still talking about the impact that album had, for better and for worse.
And can we just go over the better? This is the thing that has gotten to me. What is the better influence of that album?
Yeah, I'll tell you the better influence of that album. It was 1993. There was a naked old man on MTV fucking digging a hole, and it was called The Unforgivable, all right? And that fucking, there's never been so much older male nudity on popular television, and I feel like there's a whole generation of people who are more comfortable with their bodies as they're aging because of The Unforgivable. So choke on that one, Ray.
All right, but did Metallica make that video?
Hell yeah, they made that video.
No, they didn't.
Yeah,
they always get somebody to make the video that's completely unrelated to the song. Metallica wrote the song. Somebody else wrote the idea for the video and made that video. So whoever made that video, hats off to you.
Oh, get out of here. Obviously, I'm joking. That video is so fucking dumb.
All right, I mean,
I'm all for being comfortable with nudity, especially like,
I'm not. Fucking cover that shit up, you old bastard. You old motherfuckers, cover your shit up.
But back to what you were saying. Like, you were saying that, well, what's the for better? I'm not going to come off about Metallica's Black Album's artistic merit. It has its, like, God That Failed. There's a couple of good tracks on that. Overall, it's a shitty album. I'll give you that. But
somebody's changing their tone already.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking, you're already winning them over, bro.
It's a good album. It's not a good Metallica album. It's not something I'd go out of my way for. As a matter of fact, after that argument, I tried listening to it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even get through. I skipped the first song, obviously. Yep. Because I'm not even going to name it on here.
Wait, I don't actually know the name. I want to know what the name is.
Enter Sandman. Oh, yeah, that's terrible. Track on that album.
It did come out in 1991. Terrible. That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, which I was 14, and I'd say from 91 to about 95-ish.
Joey, you got the month that band that came out
was
on there?
Everywhere you looked. MTV was October. The Metallica channel. It was on every radio station. They were arguably, August. When Guns N' Roses fell off, they became the biggest band in the world. So that's a for better.
Yeah, here's the thing. First of all, my favorite part of this conversation is that we're reviewing the Metallica's Black Album like fucking 16 years after it came out. So I feel like we're timely on that, which is great for Disney.
25!
Was it 25?
Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's even 25 more. Yeah. I'm cutting all your fucking shit talking out, Ray. That's fine.
I was 14. So,
you want to know how old I was, Ira?
How old?
Fetus. You were a fetus.
I was two.
What I'm saying is people bought albums back then. That was the way you found music, was like you listened to the radio and you liked something.
We bought tapes, actually.
We bought tapes and compact discs.
Well, here's
I think
the truth.
I got mine through Columbia House, if I remember correctly.
We're not fucking reviewing Metallica's Black Album because that's ridiculous, and everybody in this room right now is not wanting you to go back and listen to the Black Album. We would prefer you didn't. But everyone is posting on the internet these influential albums, and here comes Ray just trolling up.
Just that one album.
And being like, yo, fuck all your picks. But everybody's posting these like, oh, I listened to the only Dead Kennedys and The Clash and when I was 12 years old. Get the fuck out of here.
No, you gotta have some
You listen
skeletons.
To Sugar Ray.
From the ages of 13, what are we calling it? To adulthood? Are we saying 17 or are we saying
adolescence?
That's a good question. Let's come up. Let's say
what
between the ages 12 and 16.
12 and 16.
So like, you know, when you're 12 almost to 15, like the end of 16 will count. All right. So like 17, you're really pushing on adulthood. You're like, that's, you know, your young adult stage, I think, musically.
Yeah.
So like 12 to 16. All right, go ahead.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking through everyone's list, and a friend of mine made a good point. It's like, what, were you born with like a Crash shirt on, man? Like, it's not what happened, dude.
Yeah, when I was 14, like, I guess the old stuff that I listened to was, you know, like Jimi Hendrix, a lot of I got into psychedelic rock in high school.
You're still there.
Yeah, I still love psychedelic rock. But, I mean, that's probably the only stuff from before I was born that I was getting into as a teenager. Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, that kind of stuff.
I just feel like a lot of people, they turn to this main. So everyone's list is filled with mainstream stuff. And for me, Master of Puppets to Metallica, my sister listened to all that stuff. And for me, you know, coming of age at that time, so like when I Metallica Black Album, that was not on my list, first of all. Second of all, it was like at the right time for people who are, you know, in their mid-30s right now, and it was a band that was bigger. It was really good. And then we went back and we listened to Master of Puppets and Ride the Lightning, and we're like, oh, fuck, these are really good. That album's kind of shitty now. No reason to listen to the Black Album now that I have Master of Puppets. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I think it was.
I think that's the difference with me. It's just I never heard Black Album until years later. Because I was in junior high school. I was, like, 13 years old. I had a social studies teacher named Mr. B. And I told Mr. B, I was like, yeah, man, I'm into, like, punk rock stuff. You know, like, I just heard this Suicidal Tendencies first album and everything. And he goes, you know what? Let me give you something. He goes, he comes the next day to school and he gives me this mixtape where it had, like, Metallica, Megadeth, Maiden, Priest, all this. He's like, you want to listen to some heavy stuff? Check this out. And unfortunately had, like, White Zombie and a couple of other weird tracks.
Oh, get the fuck
out of
here.
So, I mean, I know you love White Zombie.
Hey, hey, that first album was really good.
Yeah, it was.
I'm telling him to get the fuck out of here.
But it was like, you know, I was also like 12 years old in a very Christian household, and the song he put was More Human Than Human. So it's like, you got
that's
the moaning
the second
in the
album.
Beginning.
That wasn't so good.
There's like a lot of moaning there. It's like, oh crap, put the headphones on,
man. Oh yeah, in the beginning of the song.
But he also gave me Master of Puppets in full and half of Ride the Lightning. So I was like, yo, this is bomb.
Yeah.
But then I come the next day, I'm like, yo, I like this Megadeth band better, man. And he's like, really? You know, he's one of those big Metallica guys. So I never heard. Point is, I never heard Black Album until years later, in which I did like it when I was in high school. And I look back on it, I'm like, God damn, dude. Now, if I listen to it, it reminds me of, like, the bro principle from South Park.
I think
something he would like.
I think as far that. As, like, yeah. going back to the historical context of the album being everywhere you looked at that time, is it was a gateway. For a lot of people, anyway,
yeah,
some
that's
people
his
are
point
like
too. He thinks fucking gateway to who? Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
well,
finger punch.
No. I don't think so. It was
you
a gateway.
Don't think so?
It was a gateway to Pantera, then Pantera was a gateway to Sick of It All, or fucking, you know, whatever the fuck.
Did people really next. Get into? From, did who switch?
Go from Metallica to Pantera?
No, from
absolutely.
Pantera to Sick of It All.
Yeah.
Oh, I think
Slayer
so.
Toured with Sick of It All in the '90s.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, man. Like, metal is absolutely a gateway to like the punk and hardcore stuff.
I also don't think it's entirely fair for you guys in New York because you guys in New York.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
We're spoiled.
You had access
we got
to
every
all this
show.
Year.
I guess so.
Every band comes through here.
And in Ohio,
not so much.
You know, you had the mainstream radio. There was really no other way to find music other than mainstream radio. In the fucking 90s, what are you going to do? You're going to
which is why I think it was a gateway for a lot of people worldwide.
Yeah. And it wasn't when I found out about the Misfits because my sister had a bucking. This is exactly how I found out of the Misfits. My sister had the Master Puppets poster on her wall, and Cliff Burton was wearing a Misfits shirt, and I was like,
there you
"Who
go.
Is that? Who is that?"
Okay, I'll give you guys that because that's kind of how I got into Discharge. Is you know I saw either Max Cavalera or like
and Discharge was opening
with
or something.
With the Discharge shirt on.
Okay.
What's his Discharge stuff?
Yeah, exactly. You know? I wouldn't have found that like the fucking most influential shit in my life if I hadn't seen that on a Master Puppets fucking thing. I wouldn't have given it a second listen because the first time I listened to Walk Among Us, I took out my earphones. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I can't understand what's happening.
Well, also I think
to be fair, that picture was from '85. So
right, yeah. No, yeah, I'm not defending the Black Album.
I also
anymore.
Think like a friend of mine brought up a good point. Oh God, what's his name?
It doesn't matter. No one cares. All right,
it doesn't matter.
It's Joey Steele,
whatever. He brought up a great point where he's like, if you really want to say something subversive about Metallica, take a dump on Master of Puppets or Ride the Lightning and say, after Kill 'Em All, everything was bullshit. And then Justice, they got all prog rock like Rush. Fuck that.
I mean, it wasn't even the intent of being subversive of why I said it. I honestly...
Yes, you were.
You're not trolling? No. You never troll when you write this shit?
Here's what happened. It's like... So we're at rehearsal, Ace at rehearsal, and somehow the Black Album comes up, and Dan is defending it to the death. It's like as if somebody insulted his mother. Well, no, not really. Not.
Yeah.
But like, he really likes the album, so, I mean, I can't take that away from him. And then Ryan starts defending it equally.
Which one?
Bland.
Okay.
So he's like, no, man, that was actually, like, a good album. Like, it has really good songs. And I'm just like, good God, guys. He's like, you gotta be kidding me, man. This is like... Ask Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, like, dude, what were like the 10 albums that inspired you most? It's like Black Album, man.
Yeah, but
that's the truth, probably. That's a possible truth.
Yeah,
man,
but
that is absolutely true.
That doesn't mean that it didn't inspire Ryan Bland to start Home 33.
It didn't inspire
yes,
it Ryan.
All right, it probably didn't inspire Ryan Bland to start. I'm just giving it, for instance, some of your musical heroes like that album, man. Not just Nickelback. I mean, I can't think of any right now, but this got to be.
But I can't think of anyone who made sound for the better that was inspired by that album.
Nope.
It was just like really groovy.
That album was a gateway for them to discover something else.
Look,
that
man,
was
I
good.
Mean, maybe it opened up the doors for them, but like every Metallica album that came out before that went platinum almost immediately. So like,
yeah, but it didn't go like no platinum. A lot of albums went platinum back then because people bought albums. They didn't go fucking quintuple, sextuple platinum. They weren't on every Metallica wasn't on every radio station
one.
You
Listen,
tuned into.
You
they
guys, you're nerding
MTV
out of
wasn't
me.
The Metallica album until. Wasn't the Metallica channel until
you're,
that album.
We're losing everyone listening to this podcast. You're nerding out. I mean, no numbers involved in this. I don't want to hear about platinum anything unless it has to do with teeth.
All right.
So let's just talk.
Or like broken bones.
Let's take a pause here and let's reinvigorate everyone with like, we're going to play the entire Black Album for a second.
Oh, God.
And we're going to, I'm just kidding. That's not true. We'll take a break for a second. Let's listen to a tune and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about these motherfuckers' lists. And then I will personally take a shit on every single fucking band that they bring up. So stay tuned. Tune for that, and there will be no more mentioning of numbers, I promise. Get down. Let's take a little break for a second. Let's listen to another tune, and let's take a break for my shameless self-promotion. This is the part of the show where I encourage you to go check out All Torn Up at alltornup.bandcamp.com. We have a new album that just came out. I think you're all going to dig it. You can get it on For the Love of Punk Records, ftlprecords.com. It's fantastic, but I want to play a song that's not off that record. I want to play a song that's off of our previous record, Drone Life. This is a song that Ira digs. He's requested several times that he's been at our shows, and he has asked us to play this song. And I think it's not because I fuck it up a lot, which could be a reason why he wants me to sing, because he wants me to embarrass myself. It's because this song, I think, is something that Ira really agrees with, and it's something that we really support, and it's something we really believe in. And I don't think enough people out there are singing about this kind of stuff. And it goes out to all of the millions of people who came out on January 21st to resist the direction this country is going in and the misogyny that this president is espousing, even on his first day as president. It goes out to all the people who risked their freedom and safety and security and comfort to go out and make this world a better place for everyone, not just themselves. It goes out to all the freedom fighters all around the world who risk everything to fight against oppression, run away from oppression, and change this place so that hopefully it's better for the next generation, even though we don't, most, I think, freedom fighters know that we're not going to have it in our lifetime. But hopefully in the future, it's better for the next generation. And, you know, I see a lot of fucking people talking on Facebook and talking trash about, you shouldn't hit Nazis or you shouldn't burn limos or all this stuff. You know, it's just bullshit. You know, people need to fight back and resist against oppression and capitalism however they see fit. And I think it's incredible that all these courageous resistors are out there doing it. And until other people are out there risking their freedom in order to make the world a better place too, and we start getting a movement where that's happening overall, there's no point in criticizing our brothers and sisters for fighting for the resistance the way they see necessary. All I want to hear is people supporting that shit. All I want to hear is people who are supporting rebels and rioters and revolutionaries out there trying to make this world a better place. And that's what this song's about. I think that's why Ira digs it. This is called Good Enough by All Torn Up off a Drone Life album. Get down.
Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You're begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody.
Well, feet they run our dimes, they're red with loyal fight. They're out from balls, repress the place, run by some frustration. Every avenue's been run down, these high roads run high. We're drowning in a steam. I'd rather die in fire. There is pain to flee. Set our world ablaze. You've just been wanting one. You're just not good enough. You're never good enough for you. You're never good enough for you.
watching. It's just not good enough. It's not a good enough for you. 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 Freak out, it's my Thompson. Jump round, he joins a monster. Jump a dipped boyfriend. Run me, you're missing. Let's have a devil driver. Why you refuse to fight? The mountain's for fire. Fire, fire. It's never good enough for you. It's never good enough for you. It's never good enough for you. It's never good enough for you.
I have to fucking, I have to bounce this shit, and then all you guys talking about the shitty, shitty fucking band that you like while we're not recording, and I'm so upset. Let's start off talking about things that are less upsetting.
Okay.
Maybe it's healthiest to try to find some fucking common ground with you knuckle-dragging, fucking Neanderthal-like tastes that you fucking guys have. I'm so upset that you went after White Zombie in the last, because I feel like that's like a unifying thing with all people I consider to be good human beings is they love fucking White Zombie.
I thought Devil Music Volume 1 was fantastic,
but I love Ray's music and he doesn't like it, and so I just don't understand. What you really should be saying is White Zombie is fucking amazing. So all right, it's fair enough. Maybe, you know, all of these lists, they're so riddled with like particular memories and moments in your life and like associations with people and things and times. So it all comes really personal and weird and like confusing. I want to try to distill it past that. I want to try to find like genuinely music that you like, you hear it like, you know, disassociated from the time and place, which is so hard to do.
I like Pearl Jam's 10 album to this day.
Let's start there because
I thought it was fantastic when it came out. I still think it's a fantastic album.
That's
start to finish.
That's fucking
Pearl
crazy.
Jam's. I said that shit on Dispatches from the Underground. Pearl Jam's 10 album is
shit.
Masterpiece.
Oh, shit.
Start to finish.
Joey doesn't love me.
Oh, sorry about that.
You're gonna hear me faintly.
All right.
In the
so as I was saying on Dispatches from the Underground, Pearl Jam's 10 album is a masterpiece from start to finish. I still think that.
That's crazy, Ira. I think that it's not.
I agree.
You do?
Yeah, I love.
Do
that
you
album.
Really?
Yes, I do. I love
it's
Pearl
a
Jam.
Good
okay,
album,
I should go
especially
back and listen
that
to
that one. That's the best one.
That's crazy. Okay, so we're getting. I mean, I feel like Ray was not going to agree because, like, we're older, and when that came out, that was so heavy at the time. It was like everywhere.
Well, to a 14-year-old, sure, yeah. It was heavy.
It was just like everywhere. You couldn't walk anywhere without hearing it, you know? Yeah.
You know, maybe it was, I didn't really like it at first, but like I was talking about you with you the other day is that I like music when it's honest. And Eddie Vedder was talking one time about how every time he sings a song Black, like he pretty
feels
much
it.
Almost breaks down into tears. Mm. And like I saw a video of him doing it live on like Letterman or something. And, like, he actually started crying, like, while he was doing it. And then he just walked off when he finished. He didn't say goodbye to the host. He didn't do anything. He was just like, I gotta go.
The passion or the, you know, the show they
That's
put
something
on.
I respect.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you don't have
after
to.
After
like,
that, like, I don't know. Maybe after 10, it was just like, all right, you know what? Let's just start taking pieces.
I definitely loved
good.
10 when it was out. But
oh, shit! You heard that?
Oh, I did. It. I did. I liked 10 when it was out. I had the album. I think I had the shirt or whatever, and I also think that I wore flannel or aspired to wear flannel at the time, which I'm still embarrassed about. But you know,
I had some.
Flannel. I don't listen to that album anymore, and now I listen to like you know Pearl Jam. And I remember when Vitalogy came out. I bought it on vinyl. It's right there. It's literally right here. Yeah.
That's a good album too.
No, it's not. It's a really really bad album.
Can I see what was on that album?
Yeah,
oh wow!
I have the vinyl of Vitalogy.
Is there any song?
Spin
the Black Circle.
It is
so
bad.
Knock for You is the worst song in the catalog. Immortality is good.
Oh god, these fucking nerds.
Actually, you know what? This isn't a very good album.
No, it's a terrible album.
Sorry, I was thinking of Verses.
Verses came out second. Verses was the one after.
I'm sorry, Vitalogy is It's a footnote. It's not.
You can
like,
tell how much Joey didn't like this album because for, he said he bought it when it came out and it's still in pristine condition.
Oh yeah, well I'm obsessive about keeping my stuff in pristine, my records in pristine condition. But that one was easy because I listened to it once and I was like, that's fucking bad.
Yeah.
And Versus was good too, but I hate, you know, just Eddie Vedder's fucking voice just chaps my ass, man. Just
it's not for that. Everybody. Different strokes for different folks. Yeah. I think he's got a great voice.
Wow, Pearl Jam. Okay, well that's upsetting to have to say that we agree that Pearl Jam is on that is a fucking uniting fucking flag there. That's crazy.
How about this? Like, what was everybody's like kind of first thing where it was like, oh, you know what, this shit is definitely for me.
Yeah.
Where, oh, like what? Like punk or
yeah,
like
in
metal?
General, just anything in general. Like we're even harder rock music? And roll. Just like
what was yours, Ray?
You know, I had already heard like a bunch of bands.
Like first, like.
But the one that pushed
like
me.
Like 7 years old.
But
shit.
The one that pushed me over the edge. Well, like I was like 11 years old. Okay. I was in California when I was with my mom for a bit. And I always used to put on any rock radio station that I could find. You know, I was just listening to whatever. Like Linkin Park was kind of big back then. I was listening to them. But then I felt bad for 1 minute because I heard Suicidal Tendencies and they played like Fascist Pig on the radio and I was like, get out of here. This thing sounded awesome. I was like, and I felt like such a bad kid because I was listening to a bad call, Suicidal Tendencies, and I'm in a Christian household. I was like, this is bad, man.
Well, heavy music?
So the first time you heard Suicidal, right, were you immediately, you were like, this is awesome.
I had this feeling inside of me where it's like my body was tingling. I was like, oh man, I should have, if I get caught doing this, I'm going to get in so much trouble, man.
I went to day camp when I was little, and the counselors would be listening to like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and stuff like that. I think that's probably where I first heard heavy music. And then I guess when I was 14,
Judas
15,
Priest, that's great. That's a great place to start. That's a good gateway right there.
I mean, like, I didn't get into it. I'm just saying where I first heard such subversive stuff.
It's because you heard Turbo and you were like,
yeah, well, when you're a little kid, it's like, it's, you know, it's kind of like a shock to the senses to hear that after, like, pretty much, I guess freestyle was on the radio. That was big at the time, which is awesome, too. I love freestyle music. Yeah. But that's another conversation. Well, I guess in 92-ish, what really was my gateway into going to shows was a bunch of dorks in my neighborhood that had a band, a shitty one. And
shout out to the dorks.
Yeah,
they used to play at a place called Bond Street Cafe sometimes. One of these idiot friends is Jason, the drummer from Down Low. Hi, Jason. Anyway, so they would always listen to this. When we'd be hanging out, someone would put on this tape by a band called Life of Agony called River Runs Red.
Woo.
And I was like, whoa. And they were like obsessive about this band and big dorks about it. And that was probably like what got me into actually showing up and going to see live music. Was that, and another one, Typo Negative, was probably the other one. It was another thing that got me into heavy music.
I could see Life of Agony and Typo Negative. Feel like those
when you're 14,
I could see
15,
those
16.
I could see that making a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
I remember I remember George Thurgood when I was a kid. My dad listened to rock and roll, and when I heard George Thurgood, when I heard him do like Johnny Cash's
"What Do You Think
Wanted
of Him
Man,
Now,"
I like him.
George Thurgood,
yeah,
still,
yeah, I still listen to him. When I heard his cover of "Wanted Man," I remember being a kid and heard him cover Johnny Cash's "Wanted Man." And I'm like, that song is
Joey
fucking
Steele
amazing.
Joey Steele likes freedom rock.
My dad played rock and roll all the time in the house. I mean, my mom played Motown, my dad played rock and roll, so we listened to a lot of records. And I loved the Motown, but it wasn't until like I heard George Thurgood that I'm like, oh, I can get down with this rock and roll stuff. But my brother, for some reason, he got Cop Killer and Danzig 3. I remember he got Danzig 3 in a box set the day it came out. For some reason, I have no idea. He doesn't like that shit, but for some reason, he accidentally got that.
Danzig album I got into also was 3.
And when he heard it, he called me upstairs. He's like, yo, listen to this. And he played it. And I immediately, from the first fucking note, I was like in tears and like, this is the music that will define the rest of my life, and loved it.
I stayed up past my bedtime and the video for Dirty Black Summer came on Headbangers Ball, and that's how I discovered Danzig.
Exactly. This guy hates Headbangers Ball too.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Rackman was the quintessential Los Angeles douchebag.
Oh,
I'll give you that.
I mean, like, yo, Headbangers Ball, like I said the other day,
you gotta talk into it, right?
In the Headbangers Ball, like I said the other day, is pretty much like 2.5 hours of like glam rock and then boom, you got a couple of good videos.
Well, how do you know? How many episodes of Headbangers Ball from back in the day could you have possibly seen?
However many they put up on YouTube.
All right, fair enough.
Ray is a fucking music aficionado. I bet that this is
he knows everything. About the era that we grew up in.
That's enough of me making fun of other people. Don't like. Well, before I do,
that's
one question though. Yeah. Like you, the first thing you got into was Danzig. Did you ever have a devil lock though?
Oh yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I had a good one. I had a great one. I don't think I could do it anymore. I don't think I have enough hair to possibly do that in the future. So that era of my life is over. But yeah,
At least you did it.
Fuck yeah.
I was probably. Sorry.
Finish off.
I was just going to say, when you had a devil lock, I was probably dressed like Sonic Youth or some shit, like while you were walking around.
I would feel a lot better about my devil lock, because at least I never dressed in those fucking socks from Sonic Youth. Did you have the socks?
No, it was like flannel, like the, sort of that Northwest kind of, because Sonic Youth is from New York, but they looked like fucking, you know, Seattle. Nirvana or fucking.
I mean, people thought it was a style. I thought they were just trying to stay warm.
Yeah, that too.
It was a sensible style. Wallet chains. I fucking totally rocked a wallet chain, because you kept your keys and your wallet handy, and it was just a, back then trends were like practical.
I remember when I was at a bullshit little carnival, and I had a in 1994 I saw Danzig play for his Demon Sweat Live fucking album.
I'm sorry, go on.
Okay. I was at that show. Fucking Suicidal Tendencies opened that show. Danzig, Suicidal Tendencies, and fucking Metallica with the Black Album. And I had the shirt for Danzig at that show. I got the shirt from that. And a carny was like trying to buy the shirt off me. He's like, I'll give you $50 for that shirt. I'm like, no way, man. Anyway, I had my wallet out. The carny stole my wallet. And after that day, I had a fucking wallet, on a chain wallet on my fucking wallet since that fucking show.
I guess that is practical.
Yeah. No carny has stolen my wallet since then. Not one time.
I tried to get tickets to Danzig, Suicidal, Metallica. That same tour came through New York.
1994.
At Jones Beach. And it was sold out.
Yep.
You should have, it was at Jones Beach. Should have came around like from the water or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he was 14.
I had no money, man. I didn't have that kind
swim.
Of...
I mean, how many 14-year-olds out there know to jump the fence?
My allowance was like $5 a week, man.
Here's a little lesson for you guys who are trying to figure out what to do at shows. You can always get in. Just go, and there's only so many bouncers in the world, okay? There's only so many bouncers, so just go.
Yeah.
All right. How about I throw in an album out there that is going to be like, all right, you know what? You guys can gang up on me for a little bit, make fun of me for my shitty taste.
Oh, I like where this is going. Yeah, okay, good.
How about one of my favorite albums growing up was Let's Face It from Mighty Mighty Boston's.
Oh,
what's not to like?
God.
That's a banging album.
Are you fucking kidding me? I want to turn this fucking show off.
The album, oh God, what was the one that got me into? The one with Hell of a Hat?
Oh, that wasn't Don't Know How to Party, right? Devil's Night Out?
No, that was before. It was before Let's Face It.
I'm literally
nauseous. The one with Hell of a Hat and fucking... God, we could probably Google it, but who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, whatever. I dug the Boston's too. They were fucking great. I had checkered pants.
Oh, come on.
I never had checkered anything.
I was big. Yeah. Speaking of gateways, because of the Boston's, I think I got into pie tasters because of them.
Boston's
were a gateway to ska for like fucking a whole generation.
Exactly why they should be slaughtered.
I always, even back then, I always had trouble like kind of grouping ska, like traditional ska and like third wave ska like together. I don't know, because I got into like the Specials, and then I got into like Desmond Dekker and the Toots and the Maytals and everything. And it's just like, yo, none of this stuff is absolutely, first, second, third wave, but they're not related at all.
Yeah, they should come up with other names for those things. Yeah, like ska and trash and idiots or something like that. But Scott,
I could say the same about fucking hardcore with your current bands.
Oh yeah, the two
of you have current. You have a current punk band. You have a current hardcore band. Yeah. I'm not giving you shit. They're great bands. Who cares that they came out later?
No, that's true. I mean, it's not even about that. It's just like, I don't know. It just Scott to me had his traditional roots in like, you know, Jamaica, and then when it came into England, the two tone was supposed to be like the whole black and white thing, and then I feel like the third wave just became like,
I gotta tell you, a bunch of
Midwest guys trying to do the same thing.
All right, well, there's elitists
who just like, I don't know, who guys who listen to the Descendants and it was like, yo, I used to play band, like horn in the band in high school.
Okay, wait, but can we just talk about Scott for a second? Because I think this is a really good point. When you bring up the Mighty Mighty Boston's And when people have that on their list, I immediately, you know, I'm reading all these lists that people are posting, and I'm immediately disgusted. I'm immediately losing
respect
for all the people. And I put things on my list, and people are like, Marilyn Manson's on your list. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You know, I understand that, but fucking Scott.
Dude, Portrait of an American Family, I agree.
It's an amazing record, but
and Nine Inch Nails, whatever, who cares?
But Scott, I mean, it almost brings me to tear. It almost makes me want to delete people. Like I can't believe all these people have such great taste. I'm like, but Scott, and it's not just Scott. It's fucking Boston's. And
I like the Boston's.
I don't get it, and it actually makes me physically nauseous.
I think the first thing I ever heard from the Boston's was like their Bob Marley cover of Simmer Down. Mm. So I think that's kind of like where I was like, all right, this is all right. Yeah. You know?
I think you associate it with a certain kind of bro who goes to shows.
No,
got nothing to do with the music.
No, it's the music. I fully think it's the music. And, you know, here's a good example. I feel like if the Boston's were murdered before their first album, the world would be a better place. The world would be a better place. There'd be so much better music out there. Like, so many other things that have come after them. Like, everything. Like, if you wiped out the entire influence of everything that they influenced, the world would be a better place.
That's how I feel about Black Album, though.
No,
like, if you would have killed Metallica off in 89, like, you would not have, like, Five Finger Death Punch or Limp Bizkit would not be a thing.
Maybe you're
you know?
Right. Maybe you're right. But you can't say that about Metallica altogether.
Oh, no.
But I'm saying about the Boston's everything.
The Boston's were great. You're an asshole.
I know I'm an asshole. Fuck and you know what? There's so many good people. You two are not them, but there's other good people who like them. And I'm just like, why, you know? And even Clueless would be a better movie without that fucking slug and his fucking slug-ass suit.
Yeah, how about another album? I've been seeing this one on a lot of lists of people like my age. And this is a band I never got into, but it's just like, God, I don't understand it. Slipknot.
Yeah.
Well, it was to me.
I think Slipknot was a gateway for another generation. Not mine, but I could see
how. What were you saying, Ray?
Gateway for like people who stuck in their high school phase of music for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in this bubble, I'm staying here.
I don't know. I think if you were 15 when that first Slipknot album came out, I think that's a good gateway to a lot of things. Yeah. And I know older people who dig them because they're like, they do put on a creative show. I think what they're doing, I would go as far as to call it art.
I mean,
Slipknot does.
If I want to see a performance, I'll see Cirque du Soleil or something. You know,
it's like frat boy Cirque du Soleil. Music. It's frat boy Cirque du Soleil.
I mean, I'll say this about you know,
that's good.
You know, everybody try to show me that they're like, you know what, like, you know, check this song out, man, and I'll be like, all right, this riff is kind of heavy. But then I hear the singing, I'm like, you know, I just never hated my parents enough to like this.
No, yeah. All right.
I did, so I liked it.
What you're talking about, your Ohio point, whatever, you know, where I'm going to tie it into Slipknot, is like, for a lot of kids growing up, like, that was the, you know, if it wasn't Slipknot, it would have been, like,
Mushroom
Insane
Head.
Clown
yeah.
Posse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, not that there's anything wrong with that. Like,
what?
Kids creating their own subculture out of nothing.
No. Wait, yeah, we're taking a firm line on Juggalos here at this podcast.
All right, hear me out. Language, right?
Nope.
You know what a Creole is?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take off these headphones. I'm not trying to hear this.
We're trying to fucking... Look, we got a no Juggalo policy on this fucking
policy,
thing, bro.
Man. I'm not... No defense.
I know what you're saying, Ira. You're saying that it's
I'm
people who are...
People who created their own little culture, whether you respect it or not. Like, culture. they created their own thing.
You know what else creates cultures? Bacteria. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go
That's
praise
true.
Them.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we're on the same
frame. You got me there.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Insane Clown Posse thing is way off the deep end, Ira. And when I was growing up in Cleveland, Mushroom Head was this phenomenon. Way before Mushroom Head's album came out, they were underground, and they were putting on shows, and you'd go there to try to meet girls. I mean, that was like the only reason you'd go there, because it'd be women at their shows. So you'd go there when I was like 14, 15 to see Mushroom Head. But their music is fucking awful. It's fucking awful.
I don't even know who Mushroom Head is.
It's I can't like, even name a Mushroom Head song.
It was Slipknot and Mushroom Head were basically like the same band, honestly. It's a Slipknot got bigger before Mushroom Head.
Oh.
But the one guy in Mushroom Head was in a bunch of other good bands. Check out 216. They're a really good, like, fucking, like, heavy metal hardcore band. So you might like them, actually.
I'll check
Mushroom
that out.
But Slipknot, I liked
that
first,
like,
album.
Static
Iowa?
X and
I did.
Bands?
Yeah, it's like that's like
that
Ozfest.
Probably more Mudvayne.
Yeah, that's Mudvayne. That's like Ozfest. But
that's what I mean.
But yeah, you could say that. I'd say. But
you guys
want to
go check out like Cold Chamber, Pantera, and fucking these guys at
Ozzfest. I love Pantera when I was in high school.
I don't really want to comment on Pantera because
oh no,
like
I'm not talking about whether they stand the test of time or who they are as human. I love Ted Nugent's guitar playing. That doesn't mean I love who he is.
Yeah, no, it does.
I'm just saying
this.
Fuck you, man. Henry Rollins, your boy loves Ted Nugent's guitar playing.
Yeah, one's perfect.
That should change my mind. No, man. I'd rather drink cyanide than listen to Ted Nugent.
I'm just
ever
saying about Pantera. That fucking when I was in high school, those albums still stand.
Can they just,
the
can we just like
me?
Call them for the rest of the like broadcast? If we mention that band, can we call them Panterrible?
Oh, you can man. Call them whatever you want. I dug those albums.
But when you listen to Slipknot, you think the vocals like his. Yelling, his non-emo singing voice.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was good.
It was all right.
His voice was good.
All right.
And the yelling part. That's what I liked about Slipknot. Is that I thought the music was kind of corny. It was still heavy. But his yell when he's not singing like a douchebag or like some fucking like American Idol.
Because you weren't 14 when it came out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
but I was like, wow, this guy, you know, I liked Integrity.
It wasn't
at the time that came out. At the time that came out. I was listening to Integrity, and I loved Dwid's voice. And I'm like, yo, this guy and Dwid sound good. Like, these voices are fucking amazing.
Integrity isn't on the same level of fame as Slipknot.
Integrity's like way, way different.
No, but the voice was like this. Oh. This voice you can't get anywhere else.
I was talking about,
that's true.
I'm not saying they're comparable, awesome. But their voices, like Dwid's voice and that guy from Slipknot's voice, I was just like, I've never heard voices like this that could sing a song like this. I'm fucking blown away by this, and that's what I like.
I was talking about Slipknot in the context of being a gateway for someone who's 14 at the time that album. Like Metallica's Black album, you know what I mean? Like, you know, for some kid discovering Slipknot and that being their gateway to a lot of other great shit is the same way that shitty Black album that you hate so much.
Or Limp Bizkit. You know what I think
was
is the most
for a lot of 14
what I think
olds.
Is the most embarrassing about all these people's lists is Limp Bizkit. I cannot fucking believe how many people who I have deep respect for have put Limp Bizkit on their list. Like almost everybody. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Never for a goddamn moment was I ever fooled by Limp Bizkit. I remember when that album came out, my buddy Ben took me out to the parking lot in high school, and he's like, yo, Joe, you like heavy music? Listen to this. And he played that, and he played Faith, the cover. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I really liked that original song, okay? And I listened to it, I'm like, yeah, they didn't brutalize that. You know, it's not good, but I'd rather listen to the original. And then he played the next song on the album, and I'm like, oh, my fucking God. That is fucking dumb.
You want to hear the funniest thing about Limp Bizkit is that when they were originally billed to like labels and stuff, people were saying they were like a newer suicidal tendencies.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear to God.
It's because he wears a hat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe. Hat. Yeah.
It was bandanas and hats. Yeah. Not really the same thing, you know?
Wow, that is fucking
basic.
Yeah, the
suicidal hat, you know, where you flip it up.
No, he doesn't wear that hat.
No, he never did. He always had like a backwards, like baseball cap backwards.
Okay, well, I want to know. We only have 2 minutes here. I want to know your most embarrassing jams off your list.
Oof. Oh,
I already know it, so if you don't say it, I'm going to throw it out there anyway. So
God,
I don't know.
Where do we even start?
I want to know the fucking poppiest, lamest, like, the shit that would... I know what it is, so you want me to tell you what
I'll
it
go,
is.
I'll go two different directions with this. Like, for a while, I kind of got into like that early metalcore scene, and I used to love that band, All That Remains.
Oh, they're fucking great.
That's not terrible.
I like
one. That's not embarrassing.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Go the other way.
I have those first three albums. I listen to that.
The complete opposite
direction. Oh,
shit. God. I love, and I still do to this day. And I'll sing along every time they play them at a party or at a bar or anywhere I go. The Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Love them. I absolutely love them.
I like them. I liked NSYNC better.
I didn't like NSYNC better because
and
they were
I
like
Justin Timberlake's solo music.
I love Justin
the
Timberlake
first one,
music.
The one that was produced by Timberland.
Oh yeah,
was far better than both of those.
I wish I hadn't asked this question because I didn't think that this was the music.
I like Kesha a lot. I think Kesha's fantastic. Why? She's a great songwriter. That's
is
fine.
She? Does she write her own songs? So.
And
no
she writes songs for other people.
Does she? Wow.
She wrote okay, "Till so the then, World Ends" for Britney Spears.
You guys are trying to don't try to fucking overlie the fucking bullshit that you just laid out there with some other cool stuff because I like a lot of modern pop music too. Adele's the shit, but Backstreet Boys and NSYNC are so vile, and you know, and it's even more horrible because these guys had like the greatest songwriters of our time, like writing their songs for them, and they still you're just like this is it. Like, the best you can come up with is this pile of shit. The Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, this is the kind of music Adolf Hitler would make if
Joey,
he made music.
Joey, quit playing games with my heart.
That's a good song.
Yeah. All right, I can't take it anymore. Yeah. I think that, you know, your parents did so many wrong things. And I feel bad they didn't play more Motown records. And I feel like that's probably the only reason you like this music is because there was no Motown.
I was in the black. Like, I grew up in a very... I grew up with my grandparents, Hispanic household, or Latino household. So I had no exposure to any music until I started going, you know what? This music stuff is it's all right. So outside of anything that was just playing on TV, my grandparents didn't really have any records, any CDs or anything. So they weren't really music people. Outside of anything that I heard from church, that was like most of my exposure to music.
Wow.
So it's like, oh God, I need something that's not this.
Was that true for you too, Ira? Did you feel like there was not a lot of music in your household, or was it was there something that was your parents listened a lot to? I'm curious.
They listened to a lot of conservative talk radio.
Really?
Oof.
In the car, like on the way to my grandmother's.
So you guys both like kind of rebelled against the sounds that you were hearing in the house.
Yeah.
I mean,
conservative. But to be fair, there was also NPR. There was a lot of talk radio in my house.
My mother played a lot of like 45s, like Elvis 45s and like Fats Domino's and Motown, a lot of Motown, a lot of Diana Ross and Temptations. And those were kind of always the sounds in my house, a lot of Tina Turner. So I just grew up and I loved those sounds. I'm just like, I loved them. For the first moment, I'm just like, this is Fats Domino. This is the greatest music. How does anyone else make music like this? So I never like thought that was bad for a minute, you know.
Wasn't a lot of music in my house.
Interesting. Yeah. So maybe it's like this combination of growing up rebelling against the sounds you hear and then or...
For me, it was just finding any sound. Yeah. The one thing I never really got against, like the Spanish music that I used to hear. Like I even played in like a merengue orchestra for some time.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. I went to music school. Like I played Latin jazz on bass. And I was always into that. Like I had some of the best experiences of my life playing like Latin jazz. Mm. But... yeah, I guess that's a conversation for another time.
All right, we're gonna get to the Latin music. I'm gonna figure out that music, and then we're gonna talk about it some other time. So, thanks for coming on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Joey.
Thank you.
Get down. I didn't play any tunes that we discussed as being seriously influential in our past because I don't want to violate any copyright infringement and get my shit sued by some fucking dick who we're talking shit against this episode. So I've been playing mostly underground stuff this episode, and I want to end it with another song from Ray Brutal and his other band Bomb Scare. And you know, to me, what moves me is incredibly talented bands who can make thought-provoking and emotional lyrics that provoke and inspire and challenge and all those things. And I think this song really does it. It does it for me. It's catchy. It's interesting, and it's about something that I care deeply about. So kudos to Bomb Scare for writing this tune. So I think you'll get the gist of it by listening in. So here's Bomb Scare. Get down. Fuck life! Fuck life! Fuck life! Fuck life! All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank Ray and Ira a bunch for coming out of the studio today and getting down with me. I really appreciate it, fellas. It's nice to know that I have such good, thoughtful friends, even though sometimes they don't have the best taste. I guess that's lucky for me. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have any friends, so lucky for me. I want to send a special thank you to Ray and Ira, too, not about the episode, but about their support and appreciation for what we do in All Torn Up. We just put out a new album with All Torn Up, Social Immolation. It's out on For the Love of Punk Records. You can go to their website and pick up a copy. Please do. It's brand new, fresh off the presses. Just came out this month. You can go to FTLPRecords.com and look up All Torn Up, or just search All Torn Up. I'm sure you're going to find it online. FTLP, For the Love of Punk, FTLP Records. And go to All Torn Up and get the new record. Ray helped us out a bunch on this record. We had a ton of friends who were all involved in this, and they're all thoroughly thanked at the back of the album, which I think a lot of you will dig. I remember being a teenager and getting albums and going through the lists of bands that were thanked and just loving to read all that stuff. So we did a thorough job on this one. I don't think we missed anybody. Pick up the record, read all the thanks. Ray and Ira are on there, as well as a bunch of other folks here in New York and around the country and outside the country who helped make this record possible. So a special thank you to those folks for all that work. You can get another episode of Dispatch from the Underground. We're going to be coming at you in 2 weeks' time. Just go to our website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the YouTube button. Hit the donate button if you're so inclined. Check out the new merch store. Tons of stuff going on over there. Make sure you guys are hitting that up every so often and just checking out what new shit we have up there. We don't have the record up there yet, because we want you to go to For the Love of Punk and buy it over there. But we do have a bunch of other All Torn Up merch and a bunch of other merch from a bunch of my other bands and some other things that on that site. So go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Check out all the stuff we have going on over there. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks with a new episode. So thank you all for appreciating what we do. Until then, hope you all keep on digging it. Get down.